we tend to make decisions based off where, what would get us further or closer to our goals. The money, I mean, it's like we have this like one business account for the three of us, and we don't necessarily, we take trips and we travel and we have great times, but typically those are business expenses. And so we have one bank account and we share all of that. We don't really try to pay ourselves just because we're trying to dump everything back into education, meeting new people, and of course, education.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Jeffrey, Kenneth, and Kerwin Donis are three entrepreneurial brothers who started their REI investing career looking to retire their mothers and themselves. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Pleasure's mine. You know, I don't think we've ever had three guests on at the same time, let alone three brothers who all look almost exactly alike. So this is going to be kind of hard as I try to address each of you. But, you know, there's three questions I ask every guest who comes to the show, and maybe one of you can just take this. Where did you guys start? Where are you now? And how did you get there? The caveat is it needs to be in 90 seconds or less.
Okay, cool. I'll take that one. So we're in Durham, North Carolina. We started in wholesaling real estate and single family after reading Rich Dad Poor Dad and being exposed to the power of wholesaling and real estate. And then we decided to move up into the multifamily space once we decided that we wanted to hold real estate long-term. And we got with a mastermind group and we've been able to be a part of three apartment syndication deals. And we're hoping to do more this year.
That is fantastic. So tell me this. Are you guys actively taking down deals on your own right now, or are you guys co-sponsoring, or what's your model right now?
Yeah, we're co-sponsoring.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And you guys have taken down three assets up to this point. Tell me, what has been one of the things that you have found to be a key to your success? Like, what do you guys think you have done really well?
Networking. That's how we were able to get into our first three deals. We built a really good team and we leverage other people, right, in their experience. So that's what we've done really well.
Yeah, just going out, meeting people that have been doing it for a longer time, learning through them and just getting advice and just taking it with us along our journey.
Yeah. And a lot of the money we've made in our business, we've just invested back into meeting people, going to events and things like that.
Education.
Yeah.
Right. That's tremendous. And just, I mean, for our listeners who may not know you, I mean, you guys are, there's two of you that are twins that are what, 20 years old?
Yeah, we're 20.
Right. And then which of you, and forgive me again, you're the oldest.
Yeah. I'm the older one.
Okay. And Kenneth,
yeah, you're 23.
You're 23. Right. This is pretty amazing for three guys that are 20 and 23, you know, to have made this amount of progress. What's been one thing, you know, outside of networking? I mean, I'm sure you guys are raising capital. You guys are talking to investors. How have you overcome that challenge, at least initially, you know, when people say, well, hey, you don't have a track record or you did single family, how are you going to take down multifamily? What have you told people?
Yeah. And like I said, it really came down to us joining the right mastermind groups, networking with the right people. Because we leverage their experience. Our mentor has been in the game for over 20 years. So that's kind of, you know, when we talk to our investors, they understand that we're young, but my team isn't, you know, so the team has been doing it for a lot longer than we have. And another thing that we've done really well is just social media content. We have a podcast ourselves. So just being really consistent, we position ourselves as a thought leader in the space, just based on the content we're putting out. So that's something that we've been really good with.
Man, that's absolutely awesome. It sounds like you had something else you wanted to add to that.
I was just going to say, typically for these deals, you know, they're larger assets. So, you know, to get approved for a loan, you know, you have to actually have the net worth. And so that's kind of how we're positioning it. You know, we're not the ones, of course, signing on these loans, but these loans are getting done with our partners. And so we have people that have been more experienced. They wouldn't be willing to sign on, you know, 10, 20 or plus million dollars worth in loans. They didn't believe in the deal. So we're pretty much leveraging them, as well as, you know, we're also speaking from a place of education. So we try to educate ourselves, just know kind of what, you know, underwriting, kind of what we're talking about when we talk to our investors.
What would you guys say to people who maybe were in your shoes, but maybe not as far as you are, you know, because there's a lot of self-doubt. There's probably a lot of those, hey, you know, we're too young, or everybody finds excuses. I don't care how old you are.
Yeah.
I'm twice your guys' age, and I can find excuses as to why I couldn't be capable of something. What have you guys done to shift your mindset to say, hey, you know what? I can do this.
Yeah. I would say hands down, hanging out with people that are doing it. You're like, I'll be in a room with people that are obviously a lot older than me, a lot more experienced than me, and they're doing things that I wanted to do at one point. And then just by having conversations with these people, and it doesn't have to be about real estate. You kind of just learn about the person. We're starting to realize that these are humans and they obviously are not perfect and they're all killing it in this one area, right? And if they can do it, then it kind of just lights that thing in my head. I can do it too. Why not? That's kind of my personal opinion.
Yeah. Big believers in the saying, fear is a lack of knowledge. And by talking to people that are actually doing that thing, before we even met an apartment syndicator, it felt like something that was miles and miles away. But once we start meeting these people, they're like Jeffy said, they're real people. It really demystifies it. It makes it more of a tangible goal we can actually accomplish.
Right. Yeah. I love that word, demystifies it, because that's exactly right. There's no secrets in this business. There's enough podcasts on how to buy a multifamily asset that there are absolutely no secrets in this business. Talk to me a little bit about your guys' initial why. I know that was part of your bio there at the beginning, which said, hey, I want to retire your mother. But what did that mean? Tell us that story.
Yeah. So my mom came from Guatemala when she was 18, and she's a single mom. We grew up low income. She's cleaned houses ever since she got to America. And so she works really hard, and our goal is to retire her as soon as possible, kind of like our way of giving back to her. And it really motivates us. You know, it's kind of like us taking the torch from her. It's our turn.
Yeah.
Okay. That's absolutely fantastic. When are you guys going to be the lead sponsor on a deal? I know that's in your playbook, and you've probably already tried to pencil out when that will occur. When is that?
Yeah, honestly, it's something that for now we're okay with being co-sponsors on a lot of the deals, just because of something that we think it'll help the deal and the business plan be executed a lot more effectively. But in the future, I mean, obviously one day we want to be doing our own deals, right? Take home more of the pie. But for now, I don't think we've actually set a goal in regards to when we want to do our own deal. And we're actually pretty happy with the way things are going. So
yeah, we really like the partners that we're on the team with, and we want to keep doing deals with them for the time being.
Are you continually raising with the same set of partners?
Yes.
Yes, right now we are.
Okay. Awesome. And then I'm assuming, because, you know, one of the things that you run into in this business is that deal flow is, you know, paramount, especially when you're raising capital. So you've aligned yourself with a partner that has consistent deal flow.
Yes.
Honestly, it was really the weird timing partner that we're thinking about. He was a lot more experienced than we were, but he was definitely newer than a lot of the other people in the space. And he just kind of took over one market, and now the brokers love him. Deal flow really isn't an issue for him at the moment.
Yeah. And so we're seeing deals, we're raising capital on them. And
yeah.
Have there been any deals that have been presented to you guys that you said, hey, I'm not in? And then if so, why?
Yeah. I mean, there's always deals that are brought to us, and, you know, we're really big on markets. You know, we like to see markets that are growing, markets that have larger population, markets that have job growth. We're taking money from our investors, and we want to make sure that it's the best location possible, because we try not to ever compromise location. So I would say we've walked away from a few deals just because of the location, not necessarily because of the asset itself, but yeah.
Also the returns, and typically the team. That's the first thing I look at, is who's on the team, who's going to be doing it. Do I know anyone there? It's not like we're out here looking for more partners at the moment. We just really have like a good thing set up. So it's going to have to be something really enticing for us to go and do something different.
Yeah. And we're always networking too. So, you know, there's always an opportunity for us to meet new partners
for sure,
and have kind of find them organically that way.
Right. Yeah. That's certainly intriguing. You guys have siloed or stayed, you know, solely within multifamily. Is that right?
Yes. Since transition from single family.
Right. Was that a tough transition for you? Because, you know, rewinding the tape for me, you know, go back 6-7 years, wholesaling, I mean, you can make a fair amount of money very fast.
Yeah.
You know, wholesaling property. And so when you get your syndication business, when you're launching into multifamily, it can be a slow start, if you will. Yeah. Paydays, maybe, especially as a co-sponsor, aren't going to be as big as maybe, hey, man, I can go out and hustle 2 or 3 single family wholesale deals and probably make as much money, if not more. Yeah. How have you guys decided to stay the course on multifamily and keep going larger?
Yeah. So we initially, like I said earlier, we transitioned into the multifamily space because it aligned more with our long-term goals of generating passive income. And that's really the way we wanted to retire our mom, with passive income, because that would be something that's sustainable. And so we just really decided that apartments was ideal.
Yeah. I mean, it was really just us like putting our heads together. We just kept hearing go bigger, faster. Yeah. And obviously we got into wholesaling, not thinking that we'd never done it before, right? So we were like, why can't we just apply the same mindset to multifamily? And then we took the leap of faith. We turned off all the marketing machines that we had going from wholesaling.
Yeah.
And we had acquired some rentals through creative financing. So we kind of skipped over that part, but that was also helping us, you know, fuel the business and all that. There was still cash flowing, and we were into them for little to no money down. So when it came to the multifamily, we were just all in. We started educating ourselves, networking, buying courses, and eventually joining a mastermind group. Eventually, it took us about 7 months to get into our first deal, but it took us about 6 months to get our first wholesale deal. So,
and it was a hard transition, honestly, from having constant wholesale fees coming into, you know, not having any acquisition fees or anything like that. Yeah. So that was definitely an adjustment for us.
All the terminology, it's night and day. Like you say, the people that you're speaking with typically in single family are very different than when it comes to the commercial space. They're a lot more sophisticated, right? So We had a lot of educating to do, but definitely took it seriously. And that's how we've been able to get to this point.
How do you guys split up responsibility? Because when you are out there, you say, all right, so we're no longer wholesaling. You know, now we're investing in courses. Now we're joining a mastermind. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all an outflow of capital. How do you guys split up the expenses between the three of you? And then how do you guys make decisions, not only as a group, but also as three brothers? I've worked with my own brothers before, and I can tell you, sometimes isn't all roses and sunshine.
Yeah. I think we tend to make decisions based off where, what would get us further or closer to our goals. The money, I mean, it's like we have this like one business account for the three of us, and we don't necessarily, we take trips and we travel and we have great times, but typically those are business expenses. And so we have one bank account and we share all of that. We don't really try to pay ourselves just because we're trying to dump everything back into education, meeting new people, and of course, education. Yeah.
The conferences and things like that. We haven't really paid ourselves yet, but that's because we're big believers in investing in things like relationships. And
yeah. And honestly, when you go to the events, like that's something that we enjoy doing. So it's not like it's a bad thing either, you know?
Yeah.
No, certainly not. If you haven't paid yourselves yet, how are you funding your day-to-day existence?
We're still living with our mom. So, you know, we're really hoping to retire her as soon as possible.
Yeah.
That's a great way, certainly, to cut a lot of expense.
Yeah. We're big believers in just living frugally and living below your means, especially in your 20s, because we believe that, you know, the money that we're saving now will be able to invest in other things that our future selves will thank us for.
100%. Tell me about working a W-2 job. I mean, most people are taught, go to school, graduate, get a job, things like that. Did you guys just skip that step?
We did. So we were actually in college when we found wholesaling. And then after our first check, we honestly just decided to drop out. And so we just chose real estate as our avenue to get to where we want to go. And although we didn't necessarily know what the future was going to look like, it was enough proof for us that we could do it this way.
And we were all like at our respective schools. He's a different age than us. So like I was a freshman, he was a freshman. It was really just, I loved the idea of being an entrepreneur, and I was reading all these books and I just kept hearing like I was in school and I was enjoying it and I was getting good grades, but for me, it just, I was more excited to take the risk of actually leaving and then pursuing my business full time. And I found that I was reading the books that I wanted to read versus books that I felt like I had to read in school. That's just my personal opinion. I know it's good for a lot of people. And we obviously need people to go and get certain specializations. But for me, it just wasn't the right choice. And that's kind of why we all ended up leaving.
Yeah. Who was it? Which of you three found real estate first?
I was just sitting on my bed one day and was watching Breakfast Club, and a guy came on and started speaking about wholesaling and just really caught my attention. At the time, I was studying to become a physician assistant. So I always had like big dreams as far as like trying to pursue a career in which I could, you know, be very successful. But I think I was thinking a little too small in that case, and it kind of opened my eyes as to what is actually possible.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so you come back to your brothers and you're like, hey guys, look, you know, light bulb moment. We're all going to make a bunch of money in real estate. I mean, and it was just that quick and easy. And you, Jeffrey and Kerwin, you're both are just like, sure, I'll jump in. Why not? I mean, was it that of a conversation?
Yeah, we were in our first semesters of college at the time, and we were very hesitant. We were telling Kenneth we were going to postpone starting the business until that summer, once we had more time. And in between the first semester and the second semester of our freshman year, we went to Guatemala for the first time. We met our family there for the first time, and it was a beautiful country. We had a lot of fun getting to know our family, but the reality of it was that they lived in very impoverished conditions. And although they're very humble and happy with what they have, it was like a really shocking moment for us. And we realized how lucky we are to be born here and have citizenship in this country. And so we just decided that us postponing that business and pursuing financial freedom for ourselves and our family was a privilege that a lot of people in other areas of the world don't have. So that's why we just decided to hit the ground running as soon as we got back.
And what did your mom say about that? You're like, hey, Ma, all three of us are dropping out of school.
She was mad.
Yeah, she was very upset.
Most immigrant families, I would think, if you have any listeners that could relate, that their parents are very big on like going to
higher
school
education.
And
yeah.
Maybe I would say more traditional path. And obviously she cares about us. Like we were taking a big risk. We were spending a lot of money at first and we weren't getting any return on it. But then when you kind of start making some money, it's a little bit of a, you know, proof. And it's to be not to be too blunt, but it's like a shut up check is what I like to call it. So we kind of showed it to her and it was like, Mom, we're actually not wasting our time here. We're doing something productive with our time. Obviously we were helping her with money. So that helped as well.
Yeah, that paves the conversation a little bit. That's really intriguing. Yeah, I wonder, I mean, yes, if your desire is to be an entrepreneur, I'm just going to argue that higher education generally, other than contacts, probably isn't going to do a lot for you, you know, especially if you've already got that kind of built in that need and that drive to go run your own show, you know, it'll just slow you down typically.
Yeah. We're still big believers in education. We're just learning in other like non-traditional settings, like conferences, podcasts, books, things like that. It's honestly even more empowering for us to be in control of our own education because we get to choose it. Whereas when you're in a college, you have to take classes that are irrelevant just to fill the curriculum requirements.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Agreed. I'm never a proponent for ending your education.
Oh, yeah.
You want to learn every day, but self-educating, driving your own thirst to learn is a very different experience than being handed a book on operations management and saying, we're going to talk about operations and theorize over it. You're like, why don't we just go to the apartment complex and learn operations on our own? That sounds like a bad idea. So that's absolutely awesome. I love what you guys have done so far. What is a resource or a tool that you guys find that you have used to really accelerate your growth, maybe outside of your mastermind?
Yeah, I mean, I would say we have our own podcast. That's something that we created because we read the best ever real estate syndication book by Joe Fairless, kind of talked about being a thought leader in this space. And then it kind of just led to us meeting a lot of people like Bronson Hill, for example. I know you had him on your show. We met him because he was on our podcast. And then he referred some other conferences to us, like the Real Estate Guys event in Belize, the Investor Summit on Sand. And that was one of the first events we went to because Bronson told us, and we wouldn't have been able to find out about that event if he didn't, you know, we didn't have the podcast. And we ended up going to the event and meeting like Robert Kiyosaki, Ken McElroy, Tom Wheelwright, and then just opened a whole bunch of other can of worms. So that just led to other, you know, things that we were learning. So,
and as a resource, the podcast, I like to see it as a free college course. Honestly, I always say that because you get really smart people. You get to ask them any questions for about 30 to 45 minutes. And these are really high value people. So it's awesome to just kind of create that symbiotic relationship. And we get a lot out of it.
Yeah. You bring up an interesting point. And for those of you who are listening to the show, you know, as a listener, certainly appreciate that. But I'll tell you to reiterate what you guys are saying. I get just as much out of being the host as I do listening to other shows. Yeah. He's absolutely right. I get a front row seat to asking really high level people any question I want for 30 minutes. Like, wow, this is amazing. And it's the best education. Yeah. I mean, while it costs money to produce a podcast, it costs money and time, you know, it still is pretty stinking awesome. So I absolutely love it. Gentlemen, if our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, they can go to www.donisinvestmentgroup.com. That's D-O-N-I-S. And we also Donis Brothers on pretty much every social media platform.
Wonderful. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.